But you gotta go. Get out.
They want to hear real preaching. That's the thing. Anyway, Psalm 104. I'm so glad you're here tonight. I get lonesome for you during the week, and it's just good to have the family here. Let's stand and read God's word tonight. Psalm 104. We're at verse 24 tonight. It is amazing, so many people using iPads now, that you just light up my life. Amen. You know? Somebody said, that's what you do on Sunday morning. Can you see that? Can you? That's the holiness of God upon me. Amen. That's the holiness of iPod. Amen. iPad, iPhone, I wish I had. All right. Psalm 104 and verse 24. David, or we believe David wrote this. He's given us some great, great things about the Word of God. He's talking about God himself. And actually, one man called it, it's a poem of creation. And it's what God has done for us. Now, y'all are going to see some of the creation of God you've never seen before tomorrow. I promise you that. And especially you jumping that river, your daddy jumped today. You'll see stars you never saw before and hear birds twerping. You didn't know there was such a thing. But anyway, it's writing about creation, and it's a powerful, powerful portion of Scripture. And we're about the end of it here. And we're going to talk about the bountiful sea. I am amazed every time I read Genesis when God said he filled the sea. Filled. And I'm glad about that. How many scuba divers? Anybody scuba dive? All right. How many have been snorkeling in the ocean? Yeah. See all them wonderful, beautiful fish? I'm glad that there's a lot of fish down there, amen. Except when you become the predator to the predatee. And that's when Mr. Shark comes by. And the first time I scuba dive, one guy says, man, you dive like the great white. I said, whale or shark? I wanted to know that. All right. All right, verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In the wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein all things creeping innumerable, both small and great beast, there go to the ships. There is that Levantine whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee. Thou art that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand. They are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face. They are troubled. Thou takest away their breath. They die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit. They are created. And thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. May God have the blessing word of God as he always does. You may be seated. And let's pray. Father, we ask you tonight that you would certainly bless this time. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for how you made this magnificent world that we love to live in. Lord, thank you for being able to have eyes to see and perception and the colors and the infinity and the radiance of all you give us. Lord, now speak to our hearts. And Lord, we ask you tonight, you'd speak to us. And help us, Lord, to be grateful people in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're gonna look at the bountiful sea. We talked about the glory of God's person, verse 1. And then we talked about his word that we worship and his intelligence. And boy, thank God for the intelligent God gives us. Amen. And then he talked about the glory of God's power, verse 2 through 31. Foundation of the work, the creation, the realm of the skies, the astral heavens, the atmospheric heavens, and the angelic heavens. We talked about the realm of the sea around us. Talked about the further works of creation. Talked about the beautiful scenes, the running rivers, the rolling hills, the raising peaks, and the benevolent sun, faithful in its wonderful function. I'm glad about that, amen. And we talk about the fullness of the deep, and that's where we're at today, the fullness of the deep. The beautiful sea. The Hebrews were not maritime people. They were landlubbers, you might call them. They really didn't have anything much to do with the sea. And despite the coastal land that included in their country, their neighbors, the Phoenicians, were great maritime people of the ancient world, and Tyre and Sidon, the great seaports of these ocean-going explorers, were only a few miles from the native Palestine. And a few times, as under Solomon, and if you read some of the things, how that Solomon sent ships out and got all the wonderful things and brought them back, you know, he got monkeys and all them other things to have in his gardens and everything. You don't hear too much about Israel and their maritime or their ships. The Hebrews themselves had ventured out in season ship, but not too much. The psalmist speaks here of the fullness of the deep. The fullness of the deep. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea. Perhaps whoever it was that wrote this psalm stood on the shore of the great Mediterranean. And of course, when you read in the Bible, it talks about the great sea. Same thing, Mediterranean, Great Sea. And they gazed where the setting sun dyed those beautiful waters into crimson. And they gazed out where the setting sun was going down in the west, and it was bound the shores of the sea. And he must have seemed like, if he wasn't a maritime, he talked to somebody, probably from Tyre, and who could tell him some really good stories about people being out at sea. And how that they would go the boundless shores of the sea, and they'd talk about how they set speed from the further and farther as they went west, and always to the horizon receding before them, opening up distant boundaries of the sea that they could never reach. It just kept going and going and going. They could tell of the venturing out beyond the farthest reach of the great sea, and the creeping northwards along the new coastline, and they were told of the dreadful storms they encountered in the 10 islands of the north, and always to the west, where even they did not dare to venture, was the endless expanse of the sea. It didn't stop. No man, neither could plummet the depths. A few leagues off the shore, and they would sound their lines, and they would not touch bottom. I was diving in Dominican Republic, and as we were diving, our dive instructor, we were sitting, and he said, we're going to go on a trench. And he said, the trench is over a mile and a half deep. And it was only like, you know, a half a mile from the coastline. And it was the most amazing thing, because when you're out there and there's fish and everything, and all of a sudden it just straight down. And it's just black, bluish black, most incredible. And, of course, with a sports diver, you can only dive 100 feet. And really, you want to keep about 30 feet, because that's where the color is. Once you start going deeper, you lose the color. And the deeper you get, the more air you take. and your air in your tank, it gets real small, and you're blowing bubbles, and they're just little teeny-weeny bubbles going up, but you're when you're about 10 feet, boom, 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 boom. But when you're down there, just, that's why you want to be careful when you're breathing. You're always breathing when you're coming up, because you blow your lungs out, amen, and get the bends, and that's not good, amen. Right away, here's a man that says, listen, it's an amazing thing that the depths of these seas cannot even be sounded. And the great and wide sea, he explained, he speaks of the face of the deep. There go the ships. Verse 26, perhaps he had seen them. The great Tarshish ships of Phoenicians, vessels made by men that dared the ocean themselves, those ships were a source of amazement to the Hebrew landsmen. Kind of like some of us out in Montana. I had a laugh. When I first moved to Montana 31 years ago, I was driving up by the airport, and it said Montana Naval Reserve. And I thought, Missouri? I don't know. We've got a naval deal up here. I thought it was funny. But anyway, and you can imagine these landsmen, they, to us, you go out to out by San Francisco and to down by San Diego and see all these magnificent ships. Where I grew up in Michigan, Bay City's a great big Bay City shipyards. I know when I was a kid in Boy Scouts, we went to tour the big shipyards, and an incredible place. These huge, magnificent ships being built, and for a land lover, that is not used to that. An old Montana, it's kind of like we had a guy in our church that never been out of Montana. And we took him to pastor school for the first time. His eyeballs were that big, and all he did was just look straight up. Couldn't believe it. Well, here's a man who's writing about the sea, and he really doesn't understand too much about it. But he sure understands the Creator, amen. And he says it's like the wings of the beast that bellows, search over the lands, and they put out those big sails and go for treasures of exotic places far away. And he speaks on fearsomeness of the deep. There is that Leviathan whom thou made to play therein. Now, perhaps he'd seen the crocodiles of Egypt, and of course there are some dandies. Have you ever watched, what do they call that thing, National Geographic or whatever on TV, and you see them big old 12, 15-foot crocodiles, you know. Those are big dudes, man. And crocodiles in the Nile, only to be told that if you go out in the ocean, there are things that are 100 times bigger than that animal. A couple years ago, my wife and I went up to Alaska and flew into Ketchikan. And then our friend picked us up in an airplane, flew us into their fishing place. And first day they took us, second day they gave us a boat, just said go. And we took off fishing. And my wife and I were catching these sea bass. And they're like, 8-10 pounds. And you just throw it out there, and they're just, every time you throw, you just bring one back. And we're just having a good time. So we heard this. And my wife, she's good at the hearing, and I didn't hear nothing. She said, what's that? I said, what do you mean? What's that? She said, that funny sound. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, listen. And all of a sudden, there's a whale. It was a humpback whale. And it was off about from here to the corner out here on 10th Avenue North and 57th. And man, I'm just slaying them fish, man. You can catch 10, and your wife can catch 10. You can get 20 of those great black bass in your boat, man. I mean, just like that, man. All of a sudden, whew, it's getting closer. It got so close, you could smell it. They don't have good breath, I won't tell you right now. Whew, I said, man, what is that? She said, and the whale had got to where Chad and Marsha was sitting. And we're in this little 19-foot boat, bobbing in the water. And here's a thing going up like this and come down. It looks like a submarine. Just boom. It's having a good time out there. And she said, I'm scared. I said, what? They're not bothering us. Man, I'm catching fish, man. Don't bother me, baby. I'm catching fish. She said, I'm scared. I said, well, if you're scared, take off of the, you know, boat's running. Just take off the boat. She about knocked me in the water, man. And then she stopped. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm scared to drive this thing. I said, oh, baby. I said, what are you scared of? That's, and that whale got up from here, and it was cool. It really was. You could see its eye, and you could smell its bad breath. And there are some things in this old world that does scare you, amen. And the writer here, he's talking about this Leviathan. We don't know what it is. There are some creatures now that we are not even sure about yet in the ocean. They say we know more about the planets in the skies, than we do about our own ocean. Isn't that incredible? Two-thirds of where we live is water. And we don't know. Well, he speaks about the fortunes of the deep. These wait all upon thee. I love that. Thou openest thy hand, and they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, and they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, and they die. The psalmist thinks of the continuing bounty, what we call nature. And we're continuing balance of that nature. And even death itself was part of the scheme of things. And if you ever gone up to Alaska and see those big salmon come in, and man, you can almost walk on them. They're there for a purpose. They're coming in to die. But they're giving life to a whole bunch of other things, amen. And God is amazing how he just keeps doing all this stuff for us, amen. And God's rule is a perfect wisdom and perfect love and perfect power. Thou sendest forth thy spirit. They are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. Man, you talk about the ecological system of nature. We see God continue at work. But the problem is America has forgot that we're to be stewards of this, and they have forgot that we are to be over those things. I love to see the eagle fly. But there's some things, or I love to see the elk. I think we're making a big mistake turning those turning the lions loose, cougars and the wolves out to eat our food that we could be eating, like killing all the elk and the deer. I haven't ate a wolf yet. I've thought about it a couple times. But, you know, it is our responsibility to take care of things. And, by the way, if it wasn't for the American hunter, there wouldn't be very many things left. We're the conservationists. We're the ones that are paying the bills. We're the ones that are making sure that it's taken care of. I just thought I'd throw that in. Didn't cost you anything. He did not create the world and leave it to fate. He is continuously sustaining every part of creation. Every new life that emerges on the earth comes from God. The concept strikes at the very root of the theology of evolution, which sees an earthly life a result of chance and a result of, wow, that was amazing, that lucked out. It's no luck at all. God created it all. Are you with me there? God created this magnificent universe. And everything, you know, everything goes by itself, works together, amen. Boy, I'll tell you what. Those psalmists says, nonsense to you evolutionists. All life comes from God, and he actively is concerned himself with what we'd call today's ecology. Now, he's going to talk about the finest work of creation, the finished work of creation, verse 31. The glory of the Lord shall endure how long? Forever. The Lord shall rejoice in all his work. It is a bold statement. The psalmist is so impressed with the astonishing wonders of creation that he actually called upon God to rejoice with him. He said himself had what God had done himself to rejoice, God. Look what you've done. And he literally carried away. I mean, he gets beside himself, amen. I wish some people would do that, get beside yourself and think about Jesus, amen. Something happened the other day, I got all tickled. Then I realized what I was doing and quieted it down a little bit. It is almost as though that he was afraid that God might be robbed of some of his glory, which is due, which is due him. And the psalmist, soaring on the wings of emotion, born in the pinion of the vastness of nature, urges God to take delight in that which he has awed and delighted him. God's Sabbath rest has been broken. And we live in a fallen world, don't we? And the mark and the taint of sin is everywhere you go. Everywhere. But it is still a marvelous and wonderful world. And you rascals that live in Montana that haven't gone to Glacier and you haven't been to Yellowstone, you haven't went out in Thing Creek and you haven't just drive around a little bit and find out what's going on. Shame on you, because every place you all praising God. Those little boys, Chad, Corey, and Casey, when they're just little guys, we used to drive around in the old truck and I'd be praising God for what God. I said, boys, isn't it great what God lets us live in? And I never, never get used to the magnificent creation of God. I'm just a little old farm boy. You can call me what you want, but I'll tell you what, I look down and even see some bugs on the ground. I'm pretty amazed about some of those things. I see the grass, how it goes. I'm amazed when you plant a little seed and all of a sudden two little feeder leaves come up. Man, that amazes me. Oh, man, Brother Jim, did I have a cucumber come out of my garden today? That baby's that big. Whoo! And it's, oh, man. Yeah, I can. Anyway, but the amazement of what God, and I was teasing Brother Rudy. He was taking so many pictures of the waterfalls. Why do people take pictures of the waterfalls? You're a photographer. Why do people take pictures of waterfalls? Huh? They're pretty. And then when you get them home, you go, yep, that's the waterfall. I want to remind you something. Always have someone stand by the waterfalls. Then it makes something impressive, you know. Amen? Well, I just took a picture of the road. Well, it's so beautiful. You get a home. Yep, that's a picture of the road. They just don't have it, does it? But being there, that's why I say, get out of your house, get outside, blow some stink off you in Montana, enjoy. My, oh my, oh my. About sundown, start driving around. If you just take this road over here and cut across by the petroleum plant there, you'll see deer in there every night. It's about the main thing. There, we had a great big buck here. Somebody ran him over. We had 13 deer on our property Christmas Eve last year, seeing that big old buck, and then the next week somebody ran him over. Man. Somebody could have shot him and had him hanging up the wall. Amen. All right. The psalmist is almost ready to finish his poem. But there's something which he has to deal before he can put down his pen. Something he has hinted about. He must deal with the sad fact of the sin in the universe. Sin with the accompanying bitterness and blight. And boy, I'll tell you what sin does. Bring us bitterness and blight. This whole world is rotten. And no wonder John wrote, and Lord Jesus, come quickly. But while we're here, we got to fight it. Constantly fight it, fight it, fight it, fight it. He must deal with the sad fact that sin is in the universe. Sin is accompanying bitterness and blight. He has spoken of the glory of God in person and the glory of God's power. And now he turns his thought to the purpose of God. The glory of God's purpose. He has three closing words. The word of his greatness, the word of his gladness, and the word of his government. Number one, the word of his greatness. He looketh on the earth, and it, what? Trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. A look, a touch is enough to remind the earth of the awesome power of the Creator. It is as simple for God to consume this earth as it would to speak it into existence. And now, that sin has raised its rotten head in this universe, that's exactly what is going to happen. This earth is going to be removed. He'll detonate this heaven and the earth and consume it with a fiery holocaust, and then create a new one in which the perpetual purpose of glory will be maintained. And I thought of that as I was reading that, and I thought of this. I thought of it, you know, why is God going to destroy this earth? Because he's going to destroy all our memory of all the things that we've ever done in the past. And it's going to be all become new. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad about that one. All the things that I've ever done in my time and my past and my today and my future, God's going to take them away and never remember them again. The former things of this world are going to be forgotten. Hallelujah. Amen. Can somebody give me a witness? Amen. Yeah. Number two, the word about gladness. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Years ago, there was a woman called her preacher to her bedside, and she was dying. And he came to her bedside, and she said, "Preacher, I'm about to die. I wish I could just praise God for all he's done for me." And Uncle John Vasper said to her, "It's too bad you wasted your time not praising God when you had the strength." Some of you are going to miss out. Some of you are going to miss out on singing your heart's content. Some of you are going to miss out on singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." Some of you are going to miss out on that. Some of you are going to miss out on your singing. You know, God's Word talks about singing. In fact, he talks about singing loud. Not mealy mouth. Not little quiet chantings, but singing with heart. And I was in college, and Brother Scoville was our choir director, and this guy named Danny, he had a tenor. It was just amazing tenor, an Irish tenor. And there's a special part in this song that he was to sing, and Danny was singing, and Danny was right on key, just perfect. And all of a sudden, that old choir director, "Danny, sing it with your heart! Sing it with your heart!" And all of a sudden, it just turned. And man, I tell you what, we all got goosebumps. You know what goosebumps is? All over it. I mean, from the bottom of our toe, top of our head. Man, old Danny started to sing, and he goes, "Woo!" He just went up there, and man, all of us went, and we're in a Yankee school, and you're not supposed to do that, amen. But I did. Brother, you don't come. I tell you what, I got feeling. I don't care about you. I just don't. I mean, I'm bad. I tell you what, I got tickled, amen. And old Scoble said, "Sing it with feeling. Sing it with your heart, baby. Sing it with your heart." Some of you need to sing it with your heart. You say, "Preacher, I can't sing." I think the Bible said, "Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise on the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness." And then the word of government, about the government. "Let the singers be consumed out of the earth, the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more there." Here he comes out with it at last. There is a discontent note in the nature of man. And man is the cause of it. And sin, and man and his sin, and sin has a personal thing, and it cannot be judged in the progress without being judged in the person. It is a man's perverted will, which has spoiled the whole thing. I'm telling you, you know it. You see how many times people spoil things because of their sin, because they're unconcerned, and they're just getting what they got. By the way, this world is not about me, it's about him. You guys that are married, marriage is about her. It's not about you. And girls, your marriage is about not you, it's about him. Boy, if I can find a couple that she doesn't deserve him and he doesn't deserve her, I'm telling you, the greatest marriage in the world. If you really love her, you're going to be very careful that you always give her security. And you always be very careful that she never has to wonder or question. Don't you tell me you love her if you live an immoral life. You're a liar. And I'll call you the name. You're a liar. You don't love her. If you loved her, you would keep yourself. You promised in your vows and forsaking all others and keeping them onto by her. Keep it on her. As long as you both shall live. Isn't that what you said? I married a lot of you guys in here. That's what my little book said. I didn't marry you. I performed the ceremony. Got to be very careful of that anymore. Because we do live in Mormon country. But anyway. It is man's perverted will which has spoiled the whole thing. That's why we have weeds in our gardens. That's why you blessed little girls, when you have those babies, hurt so bad and go down almost to death to have that child. That's why we men work by the sweat of our brow. It's a sin. And that's why we have to go to cemeteries and bury those who die. For God will one day put an end to that all. Bless thou the Lord, my soul, cries the singer as he invites us to go back to the beginning of the psalm and begin again the worship and praise to our Creator. Whoo! Happy day, happy day. God's good.
All the time.
All the time. Let's stand and be dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Psalm 105. 104. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blessing that it has in for us. Lord, thank you for your creation. Thank you for the magnificent things you gave us and keep giving us. And it just keeps on keeping on. And though the world says it's going to stop, yes, it's going to stop when you say it's going to stop, but it ain't going to stop until you say it's going to stop. Lord, bless us tonight. And may we rejoice in all you've done. Lord, if there be anyone here tonight, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, the Lord, tonight they'd say, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. Speak to our hearts tonight in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.